the pages of the Bible are the answers to man's most pressing needs. As you listen to the following message, you're encouraged to write down the scripture references as they are given, and to accept only what you can read for yourself from your own Bible. If you wish, you are also welcome to tape record this entire presentation for future study. All quotations are taken from the King James Version of the Bible, unless otherwise indicated.
This is Bible Call tape number 171. That's just your interpretation. When people differ about a passage of Scripture, quite often one may say, well, that's just your interpretation. This may have either of two implications. If the speaker believes his friend's interpretation is wrong, or even doubtful, he is right in holding to his own understanding of the passage. But if he fears his friend's interpretation is right, he may be using his criticism as an excuse to reject what the Scripture actually says. Unlike the law of Moses, which tends to condemn every specific kind of error, Jesus usually teaches in great principles and leaves to our enlightened judgment the application of the principles to specific situations. Some matters the Scriptures leave entirely to our own judgment. When Jews and Gentiles came together in the early church, serious trouble arose because of their different backgrounds and customs. The Jews considered some meats unclean, and also felt obligated to observe certain days, such as the Sabbath, Passover, and others. Whereas Gentiles had no such customs. The Gentiles, however, were used to idol worship, and according to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, when they saw a Jewish Christian in the marketplace buying meat that had been sacrificed to an idol, they supposed he was also worshiping or approving of the idol. With such differences, Jews were condemning Gentiles, and Gentiles were offended by Jews, who knew that an idol was nothing, and that being offered as sacrifice to an idol did not affect the quality of the meat. In Romans 14, verse 3, Paul urges them both not to reject or condemn each other. Let not him that eateth set at naught him that eateth not. And let not him that eateth not judge or condemn him that eateth. For God hath received him. In verse 14, Paul says, he was persuaded that nothing is unclean of itself, save that to him who accounteth anything to be unclean, to him that is clean. They are free to explain their convictions to each other, but not to bind their own views on others. The faith or conviction which thou hast, Paul says, have thou to thyself alone. So each must follow his own faith, his conviction, his conscience, but not force his views on others. Yet even in these matters, Paul urges in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 that they restrain their own liberty so as not to offend those who differed from them. In the applications of great principles, the Bible also recognizes a difference between people and abilities and maturity or development. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, Paul says, we have gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us. So if we are able to prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. This is a great recognition, not only of a difference in abilities, but also in the amount of faith we may have. He urges those who give to give with liberality. But liberality to one who has grown rich in Christian experience may mean far more than to one just starting the Christian life. Then, since there are such differences in both ability and faith, one of great faith should not condemn one who is still a babe in Christ. But aside from matters of opinion like eating meat or observing days, and aside from the application of great principles which people attain only with different degrees of perfection, the Bible does contain clear, positive commands and statements. Of these, if one says, that's just your interpretation, he must be very careful that he is not rejecting the plain statement of the Lord. In Mark 16, verse 16, Jesus says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. How can anyone miss the meaning of this statement? It clearly means that both faith and baptism are necessary if one is to be saved. But even with such a plain statement, it is necessary to know whether the statement is complete within itself, or whether other things besides faith and baptism may be necessary to salvation. To believe the gospel as Jesus specifies is to accept everything that Jesus and his apostles taught. According to Luke's account in chapter 24, Jesus, in his final instructions to his disciples, emphasizes that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations. Following this instruction in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 38, when Peter had convinced the Jews that they had crucified the Son of God, with this new understanding, this new faith, they cried out, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter replied immediately, "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins." In response to this command, 3,000 were baptized, and the Lord added them to his church. Acts 2, verse 47. So, both Jesus and Peter add repentance to faith and baptism as necessary for salvation. But in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus says, "Everyone who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven." In harmony with Christ, Paul says in Romans 10, verse 9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Thus, both Jesus and Paul add confession to faith and baptism. So if we examine all these statements about salvation, we find that faith, repentance, confession, and baptism are all required. The danger is to depend on one statement alone. When a preacher was asked once just how we become Christians, he quoted Galatians 3, verse 26. "We are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus," and he stopped. That left the impression that faith alone was all that was necessary. He ignored the very next verse, which says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." He also ignored both Jesus and Peter, who specified repentance. He ignored both Jesus and Paul, who included confession. And he ignored the second chapter of James, which explains clearly that faith alone cannot save, for even the demons believe. James points out that the faith that saves is a faith that obeys whatever God commands, as Abraham's faith led to his obedience, and through that obedience his faith could be counted for righteousness. So, no matter whose interpretation we hear, if we examine everything the Bible says on a specific subject, any command becomes clear, because the Bible is its own interpreter. Thank you for calling Bible Call.
The message you have just heard was